Hey, this is Jen Johans at FilmIntuition.com and Film Intuition on social media and Letterboxd. And this is Watch with Jen. Today's guest is a very good friend of Ace Atkins, Megan Abbott, and William Boyles. Jack Pendarvis is an American screenwriter, author, and voice actor who was born in Mobile, Alabama, but currently lives in Oxford, Mississippi. He is most known for work on animated programs such as Adventure Time and SpongeBob SquarePants. And he also recently did great work on a series for Cartoon Network called Mystery Cuddlers. Well, Jack, I want to thank you so much for being here. It's an honor to meet you. Huh. We have so many friends in common, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. William Boyle, Megan Abbott, Ace Atkins. So how are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
I am doing well. And I know you guys had a pandemic movie club. So what was that like?
Oh, well, the way it worked was Ace would say, we all have to watch this movie this week. And we would all watch it. And then we would come back and Ace would say, oh, I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Okay.
Anyway, that was the general way the club went.
Did you guys take turns or was it Ace's picks?
Oh, no, it was a different pick every each member of the club. Oh, you should have Jimmy Cajolas. He was the other member.
Oh,
you should
good.
have him on your show, too. And
sure.
Then you'd have the whole club. It would be exciting for everyone.
Yeah, have to have a reunion of the club. I was in a pandemic movie club with my friends, Jordan Harper, Jed Ayers, Blake Howard, and Travis Woods. So it was kind of cool.
Wow.
I was the only girl there. So I know Megan was the only girl. So
mm-hmm.
It was fun to talk about that way. But so, Jack, what about your picks? Do you want to shout out any movies that you
I can't
had?
Remember. I know I made everyone watch a Doris Day movie.
Ooh,
I
Megan
think.
and I are doing an episode on Doris Day this
Oh,
season.
you are? I
Yeah.
think I got everyone to watch Your Dream Is Mine, which is
Ooh.
One of the musicals. Well, she made not almost only musicals. That's not true, because I bet you and Megan talk about Midnight Lace.
Yes.
And Julie. And things like that, the kind of where, you know, the ones where Doris Day is tormented by a,
oh my goodness,
by
and
an
Midnight
evil.
Lace, it's like Wait Until Dark, but with Doris Day. Yeah.
Right. And she can see, unlike Audrey Hepburn's
Yes.
character. And
I know, and you don't have Arkin and heroin, but other than
no.
that, yeah, good
But other than that
comparison,
is,
Jen.
yeah, no, it's good. It's valid.
No.
Yeah.
So I love that you chose Doris Day. You are somebody who loves movies. When we were trying to think of a couple to discuss together, you brought up something really cool that you do, which is you have ranked your favorite movies. How many have you ranked?
400, but it's
400.
not looking at the list. And then we should tell everyone, I got you to pick random numbers. And then
Yes.
we were going to talk about whichever numbers came up.
Yeah, like a movie roulette, which.
Yeah, movie roulette.
Yeah. Which I love. I did choose some numbers. I think we landed on like La Dolce Vita or 8.5 or something
Eight and a
heavy.
half, yeah.
And we were like, oof, at the end of the last year, no, that's too much. But we came up with a couple that we'll get into later that really go well together accidentally, which is the Glenn Miller Story and Pain and Glory. So we'll get into those.
And they rhyme.
They do rhyme, and everybody wins when you can rhyme, because I know you've written some stuff in rhyme before.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hasn't everyone?
Yeah. Well, didn't you write a book in rhyme?
I did. Well, some of it rhymed, and some of it I just gave up.
Yeah.
But yes, I have a chapbook
Okay.
of poetry that you can, I don't even know if it's about, I have a lot of copies if anybody wants to come over to the house and get some.
Okay. Yeah, go over to Oxford and go see
Just
Jack.
ask around. They know where I am.
It'd be like
Don't
a
come.
Lemonade stand, but for poetry chapbooks.
That's
I
a
like
good
those.
idea.
Yeah.
Don't come to my house, anyone.
Yeah,
Please.
no, let's not do that. Yeah.
I'll meet you somewhere.
There you
I'll
go.
be in the
Meet
park.
me in Oxford, yes, but
I'll be in the park and I'll put on my, never mind. I'll put them in a little free library. Oh, or I'll bury them around town and people can,
It'd be like a treasure hunt.
yeah.
I like that. Yeah, we're giving everyone ideas. You're gonna have like tourism is gonna boom,
Oh
is
my
what's gonna
God, it's
happen.
gonna people come for Faulkner, do they? Faulkner lived here, and that's
Yeah.
a big, I'm not sure how much tourism that brings in, but people still read Faulkner?
Yes, they do.
Good.
I am impressed by, I'm just started working, as Jack knows, at Poison Pen Bookstore in Scottsdale. I am surprised and impressed by how many people come in to buy classics like every day. It's always cool. You know, like I sold Catch 22, Fahrenheit 451, Slaughterhouse-Five. She was going for all the numbers. That was a few days ago.
Wow.
That was really like in one big purchase. And so it's cool that people are still into it. So Faulkner, when you go for the Faulkner Festival, go around town. There's going to be stuff buried or a
Yeah.
lemonade stand in the park. But for poetry chat books, you know,
And we
everybody
have a lot
wins.
of people doing cosplay as Faulkner walking
Oh,
by. That's
really?
not true. They
We
should do
should
that.
say that, and then people will show up
Yeah.
and do Faulkner cosplay.
Come as your favorite Faulkner character. What a terrible idea.
I know. Oh, wow. But so you have taught writing, and I know a lot of the people that I have on the show are fellow writers. I love writers, and I don't know, they're my people. So I always like to know what your process is like and some of your advice that you give your students.
Oh, I don't really teach anymore. I
Or you
think
did.
I did, and I'm trying to think if I gave any good advice. I guess the best advice I gave was that, it's okay to write badly.
Yeah, just
It doesn't,
write.
it's not going to kill anybody, unlike almost every other job, you can hurt someone if you're
Yeah.
cooking an egg and you cook it wrong.
Yeah,
Somebody could get sick, but nobody's going to die from your verbs or whatever. Is that good advice? And
I
then
think that's good
once
advice. Yeah.
student told me she was hitchhiking across the country and it was okay because she was bringing a knife. And I said, you need a stabbing knife, something with something you can really stab somebody with. And that was some good advice I once gave a student.
Okay.
Don't you
Yeah.
think? You don't just have a butter knife
Not if you're
if you're
hitchhiking.
hitchhiking across the country. I never, and this is true, I never heard from her again, but I'm sure she's fine. And if you're
She's
out
listening.
there,
She's out looking
yeah.
for your chapbooks.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
Maybe.
that's what's happening. Yes. Well, I do like that. Do you write every day?
Not really. I mean, I just finished something that I
Okay.
worked on pretty steadily. I kind of gave up for a while and
Took a break.
thought,
You
I'm
wrote
just
a
going to.
bunch during the pandemic. I was reading an interview.
No.
You wrote like five books or
Yeah,
something.
I wrote a lot of books. I mean, I wrote plenty. Really, I should just stop. It's fine.
No.
There's plenty of things for people to read. Look at all those books behind you. The
I
home
know.
listener can't
Yeah.
see this, but there
No.
are stacks. And look, there's some books behind me too.
Exactly.
There are plenty of books in the world.
There are. And you know, you trade them and you cycle new ones back and forth, that kind of thing. Yeah. So you also, so you've written solo and you've worked in television. So you've written for shows like Adventure Time, SpongeBob SquarePants. I want to get into Mystery Cuddlers. So what is that like being in a writer's room versus alone besides like, well, there's people there, Jen. So what
There are
the
people there.
collaborative process like?
I enjoy that really probably more. I don't know if
Yeah.
that's true. They're different, but
Yeah.
I really do enjoy writing with other people to I've been really lucky as far as the writers' rooms I've been in. I've gotten along with everyone really well. I can imagine it wouldn't be pleasant if you,
No.
but in my experience, it's kind of like being in a band in that where I don't know how it's normally done. I've just been in a few, but we all write together on a Google document, so it's everyone writing sort of at the same time, sort of like you're in a band and you're listening to what the other person is doing and you're complimenting that, and you just have to pay attention and learn to listen to what other people are trying to put into this thing you're doing. And I really enjoy that aspect of it.
So you're writing the script in a Google Doc? So is there like 10 people at a time trying to get the best template?
I've been a very small writer. I'm sorry to interrupt. I've been in very small writer's rooms. Four is about usual. Okay. And then sometimes just me and one other person.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's probably easier.
I don't know.
It depends.
It's an odd, I don't think my experience is typical, probably, but I like it a lot.
Yeah.
In fact, I thought I just wanted to do that. I kind of wanted to just stop writing books and just do that, what I was doing and enjoying with other people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of good. It sort of sparks your creativity. You know, everybody does things a little differently, or their brains work in new and unique ways. And so that's really cool. I love that idea. So Mystery Cuddlers, how did that come about? I watched it. It is on YouTube. I'll be sure to link to it when I post this. It's just an adorable, really funny. You have amazing vocal talent. So I'm going to let you take it away on how you got the idea and how that came about.
Well, gosh, you know, it's one of those things. We were working on it for a couple of years, really, so it's hard to remember exactly. I want to say Penn and I, the other Pendleton Ward, who co-created the pilot with me, we were always trying to think of things to write together, and I'd written a book called Sweet Bananas that had it was about marriage, you could say, roughly. And Penn sort of liked the tone of that. And we had always talked about doing some kind of, we both enjoy like Columbo and Murder, She Wrote, and things like that. So we talked about those sorts of shows. And somehow all that came together into this idea. And, you know, we pitched it and then we got to make it somehow.
For anyone listening who is unaware, do you want to sum up the basic premise?
It's a retired couple who have decided to become detectives, and they solve, well, so far only one mystery, because it's only a pilot and we don't know if it will go and become anything more than that. But so they solve a mystery.
Yes.
And maybe more. But just one so far.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, for the vocal talent, you have Pam Grier.
That was the most exciting. I mean, everybody, it was exciting to have everybody, but that was really exciting to have, because I had read an interview with her after we asked, made an offer to her. I was reading an interview, and I think she said in it something like, this is a paraphrase, but 99% of the time I turn things down. I was like, well, this isn't going anywhere.
That's really flattering.
Yeah, that was exciting. And Randall Park, and he's got a great voice.
Oh my gosh, the two of them together, it really works.
Yeah, you never know, and that really did work out great. Because, I mean, both of those people are people who we're not going to ask them to audition. You just want to offer them a part. So you don't really know, are they going to sound the way you imagine they'll sound together? Yeah. Will it turn out? But yeah, that turned out really nicely, I thought.
Yeah, and you've done some voice work on shows in the past. What is that experience like? Are you in a room with other actors? Is it one at a time?
I think it's changed a lot since the pandemic, but when I first did a voice role, it was in Adventure Time, which is the first show I worked on. Originally, it was sort of recorded like a radio play. Everyone would be in the room. All the actors in a particular scene often would be in the same room acting off of each other. That's the way I did it the very first time. And Anne Heche played my wife, so I had to act with Anne Heche, the very first thing I ever did.
Oh, that'd be a little intimidating.
It was, but
Yeah,
she
she's
was.
done Mammoth and all kinds of stuff, but she's so funny. I remember really enjoying her in 6 Days, Seven Nights. I don't know if you
Oh
remember that
yeah,
one.
of course.
Yeah, a nice screwball kind of throwback, which
She
she's
made
very
me
funny in.
really feel comfortable, you know,
Oh,
and
that's
she
good.
gave me emotional things to, I'm sorry, to work off of. It was nice. It was good.
Yeah, no, that
You can
is
edit
good.
out my sniffing and clearing my
Oh,
throat.
yeah, you're fine. Don't worry
Just, you
about
know,
it.
just getting there with a.
Yeah. No, it's good. So Adventure Time, I know we have some big fans listening. Can you tell us what that whole experience was like?
Gosh, it's a long experience, and I'm still, well,
Still processing. Are you going to
still
write a memoir,
involved.
Jack?
No,
No.
I mean, I could, but then I would have to bury it as well.
Yeah, exactly. You run out of shovels and space.
Yeah, and you break a lot of shovels.
I
It's
do. Yeah.
cold now. The ground is really hard.
Yeah.
The whole experience. Well, I mean, I'm still sort of working on it, or at least the last part of it that I worked on hasn't even come out yet. I mean, a
Okay.
spin-off,
Yeah.
you know. But the way it first started, I was teaching here. I'm in Oxford, as we discussed, and I was teaching at the university, and they asked me if I would come in and, you know, try out the writer's room, like this, you know, remotely. So I did, and then I just kept doing it. That's all. That's not a very good story.
It's interesting. I mean, I did enjoy when I was reading some interviews with you ahead of this, you said something that I am a huge proponent of, which is writing in the shower. I get my best ideas in the shower. I mean, I've read that, like, this is bananas, but like Aaron Sorkin took like 7 showers a day when he was writing Social Network. I can't imagine what that was like, but
No, I
are
take
they
seven
gonna
showers
invite?
a
Oh.
year. 7 showers a year is my
So you get
method.
those 7 great ideas.
Yeah, I have seven
Yeah.
ideas, 7 showers a year.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's fine.
You break a sweat doing the bearing, then you take a shower.
Yeah.
It works. No, what I was going to say is somebody really needs to invent like a waterproof notebook. How do you like to do it? Do you say things out loud to yourself and then immediately write
Sadly,
it down or what?
I do say things out loud to myself, which used to be odd, but now people think I'm just on a phone they can't see or something like that. So
That's
it's
true.
great. The modern world has caught up with my talking to myself.
I think all writers talk to our, we do. We talk to ourselves a
Yeah.
little bit.
I think it's very normal.
Yeah.
You know, St. Augustine, St. Augustine couldn't read without moving his lips. I remember, I believe it's in the Confessions or one of his books that he talks about seeing a monk, some famous monk, I don't remember who it was, or maybe a pope or you know, one of those guys who was reading without moving his lips. And St. Augustine was just astounded. Wow, I can't believe a guy can read without moving his lips. I'm going to write it down in my Confessions so everyone can hear about this.
That's
So,
amazing. I
my
didn't
theory
know
is,
that. Wow. That's
I
something
don't
I
even
did
know.
not learn in
Wait,
Catholic school.
you should never, never fact check anything I'm saying, but I do think
Okay.
that's vaguely true. What I just said,
Hey,
I think
it
has a,
works for me. Yeah.
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 People don't turn to your podcast for
Yeah, we
historical
don't really have
accuracy.
a lot of fact checkers on,
Good.
memories of things you read about St. Augustine. And if we do, I
Good.
mean, what are you guys doing with your life? Come on. No, but yeah, so you love to read. Are you reading anything good, or have you read anything you would recommend recently?
Oh, well, Megan and I are in a, your friend Megan Abbott, who you mentioned earlier, she and I are in a book club of two people, and we read what we call celebrity biographies. Not only, but celebrity adjacent books. Right now, we're reading a book about Lord Byron. I think it's called
Ooh.
Byron, A Life in 10 Letters. And it takes 10 letters that he wrote and then sort of spins out the story of his life from those. That's what I'm reading right now. And it's full of, exciting material. Just, he has pet monkeys. It's really, I mean, that's not the most interesting thing about Lord Byron. He has like a tame bear, a crane, a
Wow.
falcon, some monkeys, cats and dogs. And then he also has affairs with men, women, his half sister. And
Yeah.
I put my hand beside my mouth. People can't see this, but I kind of did his half sister behind my hand because it's so shocking. There's a lot going on with Lord Byron. Yeah, so
Yeah.
that's fun to read about.
Yeah, no, that is great. I love that idea of the two of you in a book club of celebrity bios. So have you read anything like super trashy, or
Oh yeah,
you've done
we've covered everything and
do you
some really
text back and
boring.
forth, or do you have
We
like
email, we text,
a
yeah. And we've read some truly boring ones and then some really shocking ones. Really, the one about Nelson. This is no, actually, I think your audience is the only one that could possibly appreciate this probably, but we read one about Nelson Eddy and Jeanette McDonald, and it was just shocking. I mean, Nelson Eddy was, and sorry, everybody, but Nelson Eddy came off like a monster. It
Oh
was
my
pretty
God.
scary. Oh, it was just terrifying. Oh, they were just messed up.
Wow.
Nelson Eddy and
I
Jeanette
don't think I
McDonald.
would have ever guessed that about them. So that's interesting.
Me either. I don't want to. I wish I could scrub that one out of my mind, but I
Yeah, I
can't.
know. Yep. Good old Hollywood. You think you know them from like one scene or a movie, or you meet them for 2 minutes at a shopping mall. You don't know. Yes.
No, if you
So.
meet Nelson Eddy at a shopping mall, run is
Run.
my advice. It's Nelson Eddy.
Go find one of his shovels or a butter knife, but like not a butter knife.
I apologize, by the way, to his descendants.
Yeah, I'm sure they're very nice people, but
Yeah.
yeah, they probably
I
corrected their
probably think he's
relatives'
awesome.
wrongs.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I do love that you like old movies, new movies. So we haven't really talked about that list of yours. Do you have a letterbox, or do you have this list of films that you kind of cycle a new one in and out of? Do you have it published anywhere?
Oh no,
No, it's your
it's just
private
for
list.
me, just for
Yeah.
something to think about and really looking at it. And particularly when you chose those numbers, I thought this is crazy. A list is a foolish and frivolous thing. It doesn't really hold up. I mean, I thought, how is Pain and Glory, which is really good, how is that number 136? I mean, part of it is you get excited
Yes.
about something in the moment. You're like, I'm shooting that one way up the list, And then Glenn Miller's story. Why is that so high on the list? Well, I have some theories about that we can discuss. But it recently dropped a notch, I have to tell you, because we rewatched the original Taking a Pelham 1-2-3,
Oh my God, I
and
love
it
that
shot
film.
up over Glenn Miller's story and pushed the Glenn Miller story down a notch. It now stands at number 102.
Okay. I love Pelham 1-2-3. I think
Oh,
it's
it's
one of the
great.
great films. That score by David
Oh, I love
Fincher,
it. We were
phenomenal.
just my wife and I were just talking about the score because well, I finally feel like I could talk about all these things
Yeah.
that no one cares about except for you,
Yes.
which is my wife and I were watching McQ, the John Wayne movie, and
Oh,
that's
great.
a very
I enjoy
similar
the hell out of that
ba-dum-bum-bum,
shootout on the beach. I mean, that's a good one.
ba-dum-bum-bum. Oh,
Yeah.
sorry. But it has a similar
It
opening
does.
theme. And we debated about, and they both came out the same year. It's all is so maybe there was just something in the air that went ba-dum-bum-bum,
That's interesting.
ba-dum-bum-bum.
You wonder if the composers were buddies or they
Don't know
just had the same
understand.
idea, we're on the same wavelength. But McQ, I thought was actually really fun. I love the
I
shootout
love
on the
it.
beach. There was the thing in the alley that was really exciting, if I remember right, that
Oh yeah,
film.
they
Yeah.
crush his car between two big
Yeah.
trucks.
Yeah. If you
Somehow
haven't
John
seen,
Wayne survives. I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's an unusual John Wayne picture. It's John Wayne in like Dirty Harry mode, you guys. So
Well,
kind of and kind of not. Well, that
he
era.
was kind of
Yeah.
like that. Yeah. In fact, I bet, I don't know for a fact, but I'm sure that has some had to have something to do with the making of McHugh, that kind of character. And it was about a corrupt, it was kind of like a Serpico sort of thing too,
Yeah.
where the, and I don't think I'm really spoiling it by saying that John Wayne survives, although he does get shot. He does die in a surprising number of his movies, I
He
think,
does,
or
yeah.
at least two I can think of. But, yeah, he survives McHugh. He makes it all the way to the end. I don't think that's a spoiler.
No. Again, if you're fact-checking St. Augustine and you're mad that we spoiled the thing about John Wayne, like you're listening to the wrong podcast, you
I want
guys.
to see that Venn diagram of
Yes, of
McHugh
people
and St.
from St.
Augustine.
Augustine to McHugh. No, that's great. So, which film do you think you want to go into first? Should we talk about Glenn Miller's story?
Yeah, why not? I
Okay.
was just thinking
So,
about why it was so high on. Oh,
yeah,
go
I
ahead.
mean,
Go ahead.
I love director Anthony Mann. I'm going to be doing an episode on Anthony Mann Westerns, which are my favorite. I did
Oh, I love
one
them.
on his noir pictures like a while ago, a couple seasons ago. But yeah, huge fan. I love his collaborations with Jimmy Stewart. I was just sent the new Criterion for Winchester 73. I still need to watch the new
Oh.
disc. Yeah, so I was really excited that I got an Anthony Mann, Jimmy Stewart film. I saw this one for the first time probably like a little bit over 20 years ago when I moved to Arizona. My grandma's sister had this old collection. She loved John Wayne too. She loved Westerns and old movies, and she had a big video collection still. And so she loaned me a bunch, and one of them was the Glenn Miller story. Yeah. And she really loved June Allison and the music. So I remember really liking it, but I had not seen it since. So it was a good excuse to watch it again.
Well, I came across it on television. I'm much, much older than you or anyone I know. And
Oh.
these movies used to come on television and there
Yeah.
were only three channels, so sometimes I would end up
You had to
watching
get
the
up to go change the channel on the
you
TV.
did.
Yeah. No remote
So
control.
there was only the Glenn Miller story and whatever else was on, which I guess I didn't think was as fun as the Glenn Miller story. Oh, my mother loved June Allison too. You mentioned, did you say
Yeah.
your grandmother loved June
Yeah, my
Allison?
grandmother's sister who had all those
Oh, grandmother's
movies.
sister,
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, my mother had June Allison paper dolls, so
Oh.
yeah. And she's really good in this movie, by the
Yeah.
way. But so I saw it on television and it just had a huge impact on me for some reason, which is why I think it's so high on my list. But I was a kid, I don't know how old, 10, let's say I was 10 years old. And first of all, I didn't know the story. I didn't know anything about Glenn Miller. So, and once again, let's spoil the ending of the Glenn Miller story, but he dies at the end.
I had no clue either when I
It
saw it. I was like,
shocked me.
holy cow.
I
Yeah.
was totally shocked by the ending when I was a
Yep.
kid. So I think that's one reason it really impressed itself on my mind. And then another thing, of course, was, what was another thing? Oh, the love story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found it to be confusing and kind of, it felt sort of weirdly adult to me. Like these people have a, it was a different relationship than you usually see.
It really was like she's seeing other people, or it's been a few years. It was strange, yeah.
I was trying to figure out how to even describe it because he's sort of the opposite of a stalker. He's like a stalker, but at the same
Yeah, like
time, he
comes out of
doesn't talk
nowhere.
for
Yeah.
2 years at a
Yeah.
time. And then there's another 2 year gap, I think, in the movie. So he'll just call her once every 2 years. And what is
She goes
that?
running. Like I
Yeah.
would not after 2 years, every 2 years, no.
That's why it seems so mysterious to me. Like, oh, maybe this is something adults understand, some kind of weird.
Yeah.
She's sick. This woman is sick. Just kidding. She's not sick.
I know
I guess
she
it's just
gets up at like
passion.
2 in the morning and goes downstairs. She breaks a date for him, and
Yeah.
he comes She goes to bed like, well, I'm done with that guy. And he shows up at like 2 or 3 in the morning. She goes downstairs in her curlers, which is really kind of cute, and sits outside. And you see her dad exit with a gun. And you think at first this is going to be like the old, what are you doing bothering my daughter in the middle of the night? And he's just going hunting. He's fine. So it's a weird relationship, but it's very earnest. They have to deal with fertility issues that they put in a movie that was made in the 50s and adoption. So that's nice. I know, fact checkers are gonna have a field day with this one because, oh, the I was reading and it's like get a life a little bit, but on Wikipedia, well, they show the wrong bomber at the wrong time and the wrong song plays, and it's like, who cares, you guys? It's moving. It's a great film. I love watching artists create and how they get ideas
And that was
outside
an
of the
interesting,
shower,
oh,
because it's
sorry.
interesting to me, instead of being in the shower, Jack.
Yeah, why? How could he? Well, you can't take a trombone in the shower is one problem. It rusts or whatever. You can't get water in the valves. But what's so interesting is you pick these random numbers, and they both of those really were about
Artist.
the creative process. And I think that must be on my, because the other one we talked about that you also picked originally was 8.5, which is yet another movie. In fact, 8.5 and Pain and Glory have a lot in common.
They do. And I had talked to of a past guest, and he wanted to do like a whole Fellini episode. So I wasn't sure if that was coming. And I thought, I don't know if I want to rewatch 8.5 like 2 months apart. Like,
No,
that's a
I
big
understand.
commitment. So we didn't do that, but Fellini has always been a huge influence on Almodovar. But I do love that these strangely were about the creative process, which is one of my favorite things. It fascinates me.
Mine too, even though, for instance, Glenn Miller, I'm not like, that's not my favorite. He's not my favorite musician in the
No,
world. I mean,
no.
I love, I associate Moonlight Serenade with my grandmother and that sort of thing. And I like some of those melodies, but and it's all about, well, that's one thing I like about this kind of movie, because it can be about and it doesn't even have to be about art. It could be like about food or about building a house or anything.
Ideas.
Yeah, it's about trying to make something. Yeah, wait, I lost my train of thought,
No, they're
but
about the
just
creative spark, the
yeah.
creative process. Like in the Glenn Miller story, when he's talking to June Allison and they're trying to connect, the phone number, I think, was Pennsylvania 65,000. And then that comes back later when he makes the song. And so it's just kind of cool to think how, these things that seem mundane in your life can actually spark some art.
Oh yes, and that's what I was trying to remember, which is that his quest, which is bizarre, really, is like, oh, I finally figured out how to make five saxophones play in close harmony. I'm like, wow, so that's what you've been trying to do. It's just an odd quest. Like you never think, oh gosh,
Yeah, he has to
I hope he can
replace
harmonize
somebody's
five saxophones. So I like the fact that you don't even have to understand or identify with whatever the character's goal is. You just like seeing them try to work it out in their mind or being dedicated. And you know what? At one point he's like, hey, I can't, I'm sorry, I'm doing a terrible
I
Jimmy
love the
Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart impression. Go
I
for
can't, I'm gonna go make a lot of money playing my trombone. And she's like,
it.
no, you have to go to your vision of harmonizing five saxophones or whatever. So, but she has an interesting role because she is sort of like his business manager and she has an important part to play in his whole process. I don't feel like, maybe I'm wrong and you could tell me what you think, but it doesn't seem like the typical supportive wife. In some ways, it is the typical cliche supportive wife character, but there's something more to her that's really, well, you know what helps? He dies at the end, so that really helps helps bring her into focus. In fact, the movie's kind of weirdly beautiful too, like when there's that shot of the misty blue landing strip where, you know, something's yes. really bad going to happen. And then it does this really slow. It's almost like David Lynch, who just died as we're recording yeah. this. But David Lynch, and because her face sort of slowly gets superimposed over that weird
yes.
blue
Yeah.
fog.
The juxtaposition there. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is beautiful. And, you know, she isn't your typical, like we said, the courtship isn't traditional and she is not a typical, film wife. Even by today, they're either like the supportive, oh, honey, nobody understands you, but you follow your dream, or else they're like, you're always at work. You know, they're nagging about,
right.
missing the kids' play or dance recital or something. So, that is not June Allison's role in this movie. Yeah.
Yeah. They should kill off the man at the end of every movie.
That's the answer to all of these, you know, let's make the wife, character a little bit more interesting. Yeah. No. Oh man. But, I really liked watching it again. I thought, it's a long film. It's like almost 2 full hours, which, you know, of course now comedies are like 140 minutes. You never know. But, it's really, I think it's a good one. You brought up, of course, his dream of making like saxophone sound like a trombone. I love how it's out of necessity because somebody splits their lip on an instrument and he has to stay up all night and figure out how they can still play.
Oh,
and how
you
they
know,
can...
that scene, I was like, really? Did he really have to stay up all night for that? I'm not sure. Okay, I guess I buy it. It seems like something you could fix pretty quickly, honestly, just from a musical standpoint, but I don't know. I'm not Glenn Miller. Thank
Yeah,
God, because
he had to rearrange the whole thing, Jack. No.
you know, and I'm sure a lot of that, and once again, talking about fact checkers, I'm sure
yeah.
none of it's real. There was probably no that phone. I mean, I know there was a real phone number, but I don't know if it had an emotional connection for them. Or
Exactly.
I'll buy a string of pearls, and now I wrote a song. I'm sorry, I'm
string
doing
of
that
pearls.
Terrible Jimmy Stewart impression. I usually have a much better Jimmy Stewart.
You know what
Stewart.
I like, though, is even though it has some of these elements that might be corny and, of course, fictionalized, it's still more creative than some of these biopics that get made today. I mean, I was not a huge fan of A Complete Unknown. So many of them follow that, you know, at the beginning of the movie, they're going to play a show and then they think about their entire life and then it goes back to the show.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
Like,
the arc of it is very, like Walk Hard, essentially. But, yeah, so I think this one is kind of creative. It was going outside the box. What I'm saying is people making really bad biopics about music or musicians and bands like Bohemian Rhapsody. Maybe watch this and then make a
I
movie.
haven't seen Bohemian
Oh.
Rhapsody or A Complete Unknown, but I have to tell you right now, I am a real sucker for, I love every music, but how do you
I did
pronounce that,
love
biopic?
Walk the Line. I thought it was amazing. Yeah.
I like them all. I just love them. I like the genre. Buddy
Yeah.
Holly story. Have you ever seen that one?
Yes.
That's
Oh, that's a good
awesome.
one. Gary
Of course,
Busey.
Coal Miner's Daughter.
Well, that's a whole different thing. That's like a
but I
masterpiece.
even like the ones. I mean, I bet I'm going to like. I bet I'll like. I know Megan Abbott didn't like. What's the
The
Timothée
Dylan.
Chalamet? Yeah.
Oh yeah, Complete Unknown.
Complete
Yeah.
Unknown. Yeah, I don't think
Yeah.
Megan liked it, but I bet I like it. I'm just guessing. I'm going to like it. I have a really.
You know who's wonderful in that is Edward Norton. Yeah, he kind of steals the, as we're recording this, the Oscar nominations came out this morning. He's in the supporting category. I would actually give the award to anybody in that supporting category. And he is really, he kind of steals every scene he's in, I think. Yeah.
That's interesting.
So, when you watch Complete Unknown, definitely it's like classic Norton. I'm not the biggest Chalamet fan. He was good. Yeah. I think it's kind of a hard role to play when you're playing Dylan because he's such an icon. It's like when somebody plays Marilyn, you're going to, really
Oh
kind of
yeah, that's
hyper
tough.
fixate. It'd be tough. Yeah. I think the women just weren't that interesting or well written, but the actress playing Joan Baez got nominated and she's wonderful. So I think you will like it. But what I'm saying is I appreciate Glenn Miller's creative attempts to, even before all these films kind of followed the same thing, kind of go
Yeah.
a little bit different and give us, a unique way of looking at someone's life. Yeah.
I thought it looked really
It
interesting
was
too.
beautiful.
And
Yeah.
I don't really, yeah, it is beautiful. I like the color. I like pretty colors, which is another
Yes.
thing that Pain and Glory also has some
Oh my
beautiful.
God.
I just stare at this. I just can stare
Yes.
at Antonio Banderas' pants. But then again, who couldn't? But he would always be wearing a nice pair of pants, and the shirt, even when he's in the throes of terrible pain and drug addiction,
Yeah,
wearing
even when
some
he's
nice
choking, he
clothes.
looks amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I think it's such a good pairing of films. I accidentally, but at the Academy Museum in LA, they had this Almodovar exhibition. And basically what the whole thing was, Jack, it was just a bunch of like screens and clips from like each film side by side by side. And they had a warning, the content and everything, but just walk through and see the glorious colors and what he does with camera and swirling around. And you could just stand there and get lost in it for sure. Yeah.
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 Something I loved about that movie too, and it's different than the Glenn Miller story because it's
Yeah.
a made up, it's
Oh, yeah, it's
so
fictional.
but I love like the fictional works within. I always like that too when they have to make these
Yeah, the
fictional
film
works
within a
within the
film.
work.
Yeah.
And the movie posters and all the paraphernalia that goes with this guy's life. I just love attention to detail. In fact, I was watching Artists and Models like 2 nights ago, the Jerry Lewis and Dean
Oh,
Martin
yeah.
movie about a comic book. Part of the plot is about a comic book called The Bat Lady. And I noticed that Frank Tashlin, who's another really colorful, I like directors that use a
Oh,
lot of
Frank
colors.
Tashlin did a lot of really colorful
But
films.
and so
Yeah.
did Jerry Lewis later
Yep.
when he became a director. He really
Nutty
was
Professor has some really stylistic
incredible.
techniques. Yeah, I don't love the film, but I love what he does in
I
it.
do
Yeah.
love that, but we could
Yeah.
do a Jerry Lewis thing. I saw
Oh, no.
you did an Elvis podcast, and I think those movies are really
Yeah,
interesting
with Sheila
and good.
O'Malley. Yeah.
I haven't listened to that one yet, but
Oh, you'll love it. Sheila
I'm
is an
fascinated by
expert.
those movies, and
Yeah.
sometimes they have really good, like Girl Happy. I think you talked about Girl Happy.
She chose some really underrated, like Love a Little, Live a Little, and she
Oh,
chose
yeah.
some, ones that don't get discussed much, which I thought was cool.
That's really nice.
Yeah, she's kind of an Elvis expert. So if you're not following Sheila O'Malley, fans of Elvis, do so for sure. Yeah,
I
but
was
Pain
talking
and
about the,
Glory,
oh, sorry,
gorgeous.
go ahead.
Oh
Yeah.
no.
I was going to finish my thought about the Bat Lady,
Go
which was
for
that
it.
I
Yeah.
think Frank Tashlin must have, or somebody did. They had so many comic book covers made, like not just one, but several of this fake comic book. And I just like that attention to detail that also is in Pain and Glory, where you feel it's a made up world. About an artist, but you really feel like you can understand this character's art and you can see the paraphernalia that came along with it. It feels really like a real place. Yeah.
It's super authentic, and it makes everything that he's talking about, like, he seems like we're looking at Almodovar, which I'm sure, inspired a lot of this. He's his mom issues that have kind of gone throughout his filmography. Watching this movie after I just saw Baby Girl a couple weeks ago, which also starred Antonio Banderas, kind of the cuckolded husband who's heartbroken when he finds out his wife, Nicole Kidman, is involved with this young man, and he's unable to give his wife an orgasm. And it's a totally like role you would not associate with Antonio Banderas in his heyday. So watching these two movies, 2019 is when Pain and Glory was released in the US. He received the Best Actor award at Cannes, but it just makes you realize what his gorgeous range is as an actor. He has so much that he does, non-verbally, his reactions, he thinks in character, which is hard to do. And it kind of makes you wish you could go back in time to the 90s. I mean, those movies were really a lot of fun, the El Mariachi and all those pictures. But you wish we could have given him some more dramatic stuff to do in the
Well, you know,
US.
I have to say, once again, I'm going to disappoint you with a lowness of my taste, but I like those. I don't know.
Oh, they're fun.
They don't call them direct to video anymore, but we used to call these movies direct to video. Action movies that are really cheap and made on the fly. And he makes a lot of those. At least he was as
Assassins was a lot
recently
of
as a
fun.
few.
Do you remember
Oh,
that
but
one?
I'm talking about even, oh yes, I actually saw Assassins on my honeymoon. And that's
Oh,
another
wow.
story. Okay. We were in Taos for our honeymoon, and then we drove to Albuquerque to go to the airport to go back home. And there's a movie theater next to the hotel almost. And look, there's two screens. They're playing Assassins and How to Make an American Quilt. And I was like, oh, honey, let's go see How to Make an American Quilt. And my wife, Teresa, said, no, we're going to see Assassins. So
I love
we
both of
saw
those movies, actually.
I never saw, I still haven't seen How to, I don't know
Oh,
How to Make an American
Jack.
Quilt because I never saw the
Oh my
movie.
God. It'll make you cry. It's
Well, so did Assassins.
heartwarming.
I
It's
don't know what it is.
beautiful. Yeah. No, you got to see How to Make an American Quilt
I
too,
do have to
but they're
say,
both great.
oh, sorry. I'm
Go
sorry. I
ahead. But
keep
what I'm
interrupting.
saying is, in addition to all of these fun movies that he made, I do wish we could have given him some more dramatic stuff too. Yeah.
Well, you
You're like,
know, that's
no.
just the way life goes, man.
Yeah.
He might, and Mask of Zorro, that's a great
Oh, that's a lot
movie.
of
I love it.
fun. Yeah. I just
But
covered that in a
oh, you did?
swashbuckling. Yeah, we did a Neo Swashbucklers
Oh,
episode.
that's cool.
'Cause there were a lot of those in the 90s.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah. I did not see Cutthroat Island, although my wife went to see it with a friend. That was the Geena Davis, Matthew Modine
I went to the
pirate
press
movie.
screening. I think it was the first press
Oh.
screening I ever went to. I got like a ticket from Premiere Magazine, and it was at
Wow.
Mall of America in Minnesota. We had to drive really far, and boy, everybody in that packed auditorium walked out of that thing like they just had dental surgery. I didn't hate it. I thought it was fun, but not great. Not
I
like
still haven't seen Cutthroat Island, so
okay.
maybe I'll do a double. Next time I come on, we
How to
could
Make
talk
an
about
American Quilt and
and
Cutthroat
Cutthroat
Island.
Island. That'll be our double
That's
feature
our
for
next
next
one.
time.
Yeah,
I love
no.
it. But I think you might not know this because you're mentioning movies that are still pretty. I mean, Assassins. Wait, who else was it? It was Sylvester Stallone, right?
Julianne Moore. Yeah, and
Julianne
it was
Moore.
by
So,
the
you know.
Wachowskis.
So there you go. But the things I'm talking about are like something called Security, where he works in a mall. He's a mall security
Oh,
guard.
those kind of ones.
And
Yes.
he
I
has to
had to
like,
review so many of those, Jack.
oh, well, I love those is what I'm
There
saying.
you go.
I like him in everything. I like him in everything.
There you
He's
go.
wonderful. Hey, Andy directed a movie based on a novel by a friend of mine, called Crazy in Alabama.
Oh, that's right, with Melanie Griffith. I remember
Yeah,
that.
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That we could talk about that on another day too.
Yeah, do the Antonio hour. Yes. But
Yeah.
he's just wonderful in Pain and Glory. I like that it's about somebody who has chronic pain, and tinnitus, because the last person I was involved with had tinnitus and I have chronic pain back issues. So like watching this movie is like, oh, I know exactly. But my God, I remember I saw it with an old film professor who was my Almodovar beard, because a lot of these movies over the past 20 years have been NC-17 or X. And when I was younger, I felt like weird going to those alone. So when my professor's partner didn't want to go to a movie, he would go with me. And so we saw this one after he's like, I don't get it. He's just like, all of a sudden, I'm gonna try heroin one day. And but he's at that point in his life, I guess, where he just it deals with his past. He's never gotten over his mother's death. There's a lot going on in this movie. It's very emotional. So do you remember the first time you saw it? Had you heard about all the buzz from Cannes,
No,
or had you just
I don't
wanted to see it as an
remember.
Almodovar fan?
I like to see every Almodóvar
Yeah,
film,
and every
so
Antonio.
yeah, and I love him, so it's a natural thing for me to watch, and I just was taken with it right away. And I love the ending when you're talking about the create, and it
Oh my
all comes together,
God.
which I didn't see coming at all, and it sort of hit me with a certain impact, like certain movies to me have almost a mystical feeling ending. And that was one of them where I was just really taken with that last, very last moment. And there are other movies like that, like The Incredible Shrinking Man. But it is. Have you seen The Incredible Shrinking Man? It's got a really crazy mystical. I don't want to spoil it for you.
Okay.
We'll talk about it another time. I'm going to be on your show every week.
Yep, we're just going to keep rambling about movies and St. Augustine shovels.
Yeah.
People are going to love it.
Is this
Yeah.
how it usually goes? I don't know. I'm sorry. You can do
No,
something with this.
it's fun. But yeah, no, I love the creative process. Another thing that I really appreciate in this movie, I know it was really inspired, I guess, by Paul Auster. There's even a moment where he's on his computer and you see an icon that says Paul Auster. Which I did not see. I saw somebody mention that online, but the way coincidences kind of work in Auster's fiction, I was a huge fan of his as well. And I like that there's this thing that happens, his formative years, his first desire, we find out as the film goes on, and how people that you might not expect can, and things that happen in your life can inspire just great, beautiful works of art. Like we see this painting later on in the film and it goes back to him being a child. And it's just one of the most beautiful moments. And I love the whole conversation in the car when he sees it and he remembers the man who painted it. And the woman he's with is like, well, why wouldn't you look him up or whatever? No. And it's just, it's enough that they had had that moment together and inspired each other. And I thought that was really beautiful.
Oh, it was beautiful. Great.
Yeah. So, what are some of your favorite Almodovar movies? You said you were a fan.
Well, Pain and Glory, I think, is 136 on my big list. So it must, maybe it's my favorite one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's up there.
All About My Mother, that's a good one.
That was a good one.
I don't know about that one. What's it called? Where Antonio Banderas is, it's sort of like Eyes Without a Face sort of a plot where he traps the guy and then, I'll need to see that one again.
Was that
The Skin I'm In?
Yeah. I don't
and
know
that
about
one
that
was
one.
scary.
Yeah. Some of them get very, very strange, but,
Volver? Is that how you say
Bolvar.
it?
Yeah.
Bolvar. See?
Oh, that was
I knew
a
I was going to
really
mispronounce
good
something.
one. That was like his circuit.
Volver.
Yeah.
Not
Or his
Volver.
Noir. Yeah. I
Okay.
know. I love
Yeah,
that film.
Well, yeah. Those are some good ones.
And Penelope Cruz. Yeah, no, I
she
think
was great. It was nice to see, even though, of course, they don't really get to act together in Pain and Glory, but it's beautiful use of both of those actors that are so essential to him.
Yeah. Well, before I let you go, are there any other films about the creative process that you really love off the top of your head that seems to kind of be a recurring
Well, I
theme
don't
for
know.
today?
This is totally just off the top of my head, but Barton Fink.
Yes,
but
great film.
Artists and Models, the Frank Tashlin movie is about the artistic process. It really is. I don't know. I'm sure there are many others.
There
Eight
are
and a
so many
half,
more, but at least these are a couple that you
and
should check out.
filmmakers love to make those, I think, you know.
Yeah, they kind of say that every movie is about movie making, even when you don't think it is, which is interesting. Kind of like writers are always writing about writing. So I like that idea.
Yeah.
Well, Jack, I want to thank you so much for doing this. You will have to come back. We'll think of some more movies to discuss, another theme. You know, if it's direct to video, if it's movies that are about making quilts, we don't really know yet, but we're going to come up with something.
Are there a lot of movies? I don't think there are many movies about St. Augustine that I can. There ought to be, you know, he's pretty
We just inspired
wild.
Like a whole new run of films, I think.
Great. Next year's Academy Awards, Antonio Banderas is St. Augustine.
Yes, I know.
This time it's personal.
Eat your heart out. Yeah.
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 All right. Well, thanks so much for being so nice.
Oh, well, this was my pleasure. Thank you. And I'm going to tell everybody again to check out Mystery Cuddlers on YouTube. You can watch the pilot that he co-created. That is a lot of fun. So,
Oh,
Jack,
yes.
thank you.
Thank you.
I also want to thank everyone for listening, especially my patrons who support the show and help fund my research equipment, film rentals, RSS fees, and more for as little as $1 per month at the Film Intuition Patreon, which is the home base for the show. Other ways you can support the podcast are by sharing, reviewing, and subscribing to Watch with Jen wherever you get your podcasts, and also checking out the cool merch store hosted and created by our talented logo designer, Kate Gabrielle. You can find the merchandise store, including shirts, tote bags, stickers, and more by visiting filmintuition.com and clicking on the shop link. The show's theme music is Solo Acoustic Guitar by Jason Shaw and is available in the free music archive. Well, until next time, please take care and happy movie watching.
This is Jen Johans at filmintuition.com and Film Intuition on social media and Letterboxd. And this is Watch with Jen.